Wired. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, are you overwhelmed by zucchini? For this week's edition of Food Friday, we have a guest who helps us get creative with all that extra produce. First, when you think of the Midwest, what comes to mind first? The Washington Post recently set out to determine what places and things are the most Midwestern using hard data analysis. Sort of. Their data columnist built a database of Airbnb rental listings across the country to analyze the text and see what words they used most often, and then use that by region to define places like the Midwest. Iowa, Indiana, and Wisconsin were the three most Midwestern states. That's based on how often these listings mention the word Midwest. Then the Post took it a step further and looked at which words appeared the most in these listings across the 12 Midwestern states to find out which things were most Midwestern. We're putting that to the test with a highly regarded expert on the subject, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. What says Midwestern to you? Do you think Wisconsin is the most Midwestern state? Why or why not? Did you move to the Midwest from somewhere else? What stood out to you the most about Wisconsin in particular or about Midwest living? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Charlie Behrens is a comedian who hosts the Manitowoc Minute. He's author of the book, The Midwest Survival Guide, How We Talk, Love, Work, Drink, and Eat Everything with Ranch. He performed this week at the Wisconsin State Fair. That's pretty Midwestern. Charlie, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thanks for having me on again. I appreciate it.
Well, it's good to have you back.
Yeah, no, it's good to be back, and, you know, I hope you got, the last time you had me on, I did send you that care package in the mail. Did the rhubarb make it?
Loved it. So we could go on a half hour like this. That's the most Midwestern thing I could think of. All right, now, Charlie, but in this data from the Washington Post, they looked at this Airbnb data, the number one most distinctive thing in the Midwest on these listings, walleye, the fish. What do you think? Pretty Midwestern?
Well, that's, you know, if I were to think of some, that would probably be up there pretty near close to top. I mean, I've been fishing walleyes, honestly, since I was first there to fish, when I first started fishing, right off the dock in Fond du Lac, Lake Winnebago, and we catch them all night long. In the early summer, early June, that's when you get them. And, yeah, fishers love them.
Now, I'm not a fishing guy, but I'm a fish-eating guy, and I do love walleye fish fry. Now, I think fish fry has to be on our list of Midwestern things, too. I don't think it was in this list from the Washington Post. I put it there, though. How about you?
Yeah, and you know, a fish fry, and I didn't know this growing up in Wisconsin, but it's a very Wisconsin thing, and it's not as prevalent outside of Wisconsin. It's kind of like bubbler to a certain degree, you know? But to me, there's nothing more Midwest than a fish fry, and I honestly still don't know if I believe the fact that they're not anywhere other than Wisconsin. But, hey, if that's the case, I'm glad Wisconsin is paving the way for the fish fry, because there's nothing better than that, assuming you have your Pepsi AC.
Definitely. Now, I grew up in Michigan and then came to Wisconsin. You could find fried fish, and you could often find it on Friday. It wasn't, at least in my part of the state of Michigan, it wasn't the thing it is in Wisconsin. This was an institution I saw when I came here. It wasn't that in southeastern Michigan. So I agree.
Yeah. But we should spread it over there. You know, I mean, they're missing out, you know, it should be more of a perch or walleye kind of place, in my humble opinion.
We've got some callers at 800-642-1234 with thoughts on what is Midwestern. Josh starts us off in Duluth. Josh, hi.
Hey, how's it going? One of the most Midwestern things I think you could think of is a whole segment dedicated to zucchini on your local found here.
You got us. Are you a zucchini fan, Josh? I know you're joshing us a little bit, but do you like the stuff?
I'm a zucchini fan, and I'm actively tuned in too. So that's the other thing is I'm gonna look at that.
Thanks for the promo, Josh. Yes, zucchini coming up. I don't know, Charlie, what other foods? We talked fish fry. What other foods leap to mind when you think of Midwest?
Well, you know, the zucchini is a good one because it's a lot of stuff you're growing in the garden. So, you know, you got the zucchinis and the cucumbers and whatnot, obviously. But then outside of that, cheese curds. I just came from the state fair, so I'm just thinking about everything deep fried and on a stick, honestly. But, you got your casserole, and then you got the casserole versus hot dish argument, you know, and that. And I know we're not trying to get political here, but that's a real political conversation, sure. Right? I mean, that'll break up a family over Thanksgiving, you know, if you call Aunt Linda's casserole a hot dish. Them's fighting words. So you got to be careful with it, too.
Now, last time we were on, we talked about your book, and something I loved about your book, we talked about this a little, is, you know, there's a couple ways. You could say, okay, Midwestern, you know, it's kind of an exclusive thing. You're not from around here, so you don't get it. You take a different approach where you include a lot. The stereotypical things we might think about the Midwest, you also say, hey, we got cities in the Midwest. Prince is from the Midwest. We've got a lot of great music, a lot of other traditions. And I don't know, you invite people, I think, to participate in Midwestern identity as opposed to, say, in gatekeeping Midwestern identity.
Well, yeah, I mean, and that is at the heart of what it means to be Midwest. You know, I do think that Midwest nice thing is what the Midwest is at its best, and it is inviting and welcoming all sorts of folks in. And even if you're not from here, you know, you can easily become part of the culture, as a lot of cultures have done. They've come in and they've been accepted, and they brought so much to the table.
Talking to Charlie Behrens, comedian, host of the Manitowoc Minute, author of the book The Midwest Survival Guide. We're talking about what it means for something to be Midwestern. What defines the Midwest, Wisconsin, and the other Midwestern states that are out there too? And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your answers. That's 800-642-1234. Rachel is with us next in Fort Atkinson. Rachel, hi.
Hi. I think there are a couple things that make the Midwest what it is. I think quality beer, and then freshwater sports and casseroles, because casseroles aren't always hot.
All right, what's your favorite casserole, Rachel, hot or otherwise? I'm putting you on the spot.
Cold tuna casserole with Lay's chips.
Cold tuna casserole with Lay's. Oh, I love it. Rachel, thanks a lot for that. Yeah, the fresh water. I mean, so much. We have the Great Lakes. If you don't have Great Lakes, you've got a bunch of lakes in the Midwestern states. That and the beer are big parts of it for Rachel, Charlie.
Yeah, and, you know, actually, one of my favorite videos I ever did was where I was showing people how to water ski with beer. And that, you know, it's not something I recommend you do, but if you are interested, I got a tutorial for you on that situation. So you even dropped a ski. But, yeah, you look at the skiing, the tubing, and also not just tubing behind the boat, but putting a tube in a river and doing that lazy river. That's fantastic as well.
Thanks a lot for that call, Rachel, at 800-642-1234. Charlie, I assume you hear from people all over the country, even outside the Midwest. What are some of the questions people ask you, or the things that seem to confuse people who aren't from the Midwest about what we do here?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about the weather, about how can you live in a place that, you know, that's so cold half the year, you know, and the answer is it's more than half the year, to be quite honest with you. So and furthermore, I don't know, but we do find ways to have a lot of fun, even in the months that are not as comfortable. I mean, ice fishing is the perfect Midwest example of, you know, taking the frozenness of the entire region, saying, you know, when God gives you ice, cut a hole in it and see if you can't get yourself a walleye or something. And we find plenty, and even just swimming, the polar bearing stuff, you know, that started here. Did it actually start here? I don't know, but I'm just going to claim it anyway. You know, we literally cut a hole in the ice and said, let's go swimming. We surf here in the winter, in the UP on Superior and Lake Michigan. Sheboygan's got better waves, sure, than Malibu, you know, and you can only surf in the colder months.
Let's go back to our callers. Dennis is with us in Oconomowoc. Dennis, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. What's your story, Dennis?
So, you know, I'm originally from New York, and I moved here, you know, for work to Oconomowoc, and get a little used to the, you know, the fish frying stuff. I love walleye. The beer is great. I was wondering if Charlie had any other suggestions other than cheese and beer and brats, you know, with casseroles. What else can we eat here?
And, Dennis, I got to ask, first of all, how long have you been in Oconomowoc from New York?
A little less than 2 years, so it's about a year and 9 months or so.
Okay, all right. So advice for Dennis to expand his Midwest horizons. Welcome, a couple years late, welcome to Wisconsin, Dennis. Charlie, any advice for Dennis?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, no, I was waiting for the lead up on that. That was my bad.
That was my bad.
Oh, sorry about that.
I stepped on you there, buddy.
Four times.
Yeah.
Now look at you being very Midwest. Yeah, there's a ton of different stuff here. I mean, first of all, the supper club is a Midwest staple in that you got the prime rib, you got the venison truffle. Also, there are a lot of great indigenous dishes around. And if you can get yourself to an intertribal powwow, you can have some of those. There's a great chef in Minneapolis, Chef Ye Vang, and he's Hmong, and he's got a great kitchen which has amazing Hmong dishes. So there's so many different culinary experiences here. And really, again, there's influence from Hmong and Somalia, Germany, Ireland. And so there are all these different traditions that are here if you just look for them.
Dennis, thanks a lot. Hope that helps. Comedian Charlie Behrens is with us, host of the Manitowoc Minute, looking at what makes stuff Midwestern, what things are the most Midwestern. And we're looking for your answers to those questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What people or places or things or ideas are the most Midwestern to you? Call in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation, maybe hear from you coming up on Central Time. Central Time, I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with comedian Charlie Behrens, author of the book, The Midwest Survival Guide. He's with us today to help us sort out some inspiration here. The Washington Post analyzed what objects, animals, places, and ideas are the most Midwestern. We want your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. Back to your calls now. Paul is with us in Phillips. Paul, hi.
Hello, how are you?
Good. What do you got for us, Paul?
Well, if you're from the Midwest, you got to know your sausages, your bratwurst, your knackwurst, your yackwurst, summer sausage, Polish sausage. You know, I have a brother who moved to Oklahoma. I sent him a care package because he lives in a sausage desert.
What, do you have a favorite, Paul?
Oh, my God. Right now, we're about ready to cook some Asagio cheese bratwurst that we're made locally here.
That sounds great. I'll stop by after the show. Paul, thanks a lot. Charlie, favorite sausages?
You know, my Uncle Tom used to host these cookouts back in the day, and he would always go to a local butcher in Milwaukee, and he got these Hungarian sausages, and oh my gosh. Now, you got to watch out for them because they're on the spicier side of life. So you get one of those things, you're going to have that heartburn. You're going to have the meat sweats at 2 a.m., especially if you mix it with a beer or two. So you got to be careful on that side. But going down, they're fantastic.
That sounds great. Can I make a confession to you, Charlie? I don't know if I've said this on the air before. So when I first moved here, I'm from Michigan, like I said. I had eaten bratwurst in my life, but it wasn't a thing to call them brats there. So I get here. And there's all these restaurants with brats in their name. What? Brats? What? Have some brats with your beer, or give your beer some brats? Brats? Yeah. I was surprised by this, that shorthand. I think now John Madden, when he was doing NFL calling, he popularized brats a little more. This was one that surprised me, Charlie.
You saying that also, it's kind of like the fish fry thing. I forget that they don't call them brats outside of, and that I didn't realize that was a Wisconsin thing either until this moment right now. So I got to start opening my eyes a little bit more when I tour outside of the state, because and see if I can't find a brat house somewhere in Michigan. You know, the other thing is once you focus on it, then you see it all over the place.
Exactly.
But man, that's wild. And you don't have there's no shame in that. You know now, and that's all that's important.
Oh, I do. I take it for granted now. Let's go back to our callers. Clifford is with us in Pewaukee. Clifford, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's your Midwestern stuff, Clifford?
Well, I drive a lot, and I notice there's a lot of deer.
Oh,
they may
yeah.
be laying on the side of the road, but, oh, boy, there's a lot of deer.
deer as a big defining element of Wisconsin. Clifford, whether and Charlie, whether you're looking at them or hunting them or eating them, deer here in Wisconsin, again, I think in particular, a big part of the Midwestern idea.
Yeah, I mean, how we say I love you is watch out for deer, because they are around, you know, and you may lack the emotional capacity to tell your loved ones I love you, but you will tell them to drive safe now and watch out for deer. And I'll also add, have a, you know, a buck knife in your brat holder, which some people call their sunglasses holder. Because if you do hit one and it's fresh, you know, that is some zero carbon footprint way to fill your freezer with some meat right there.
Clifford, thanks for that. Katie is calling from on the road right now. Katie, hello.
Hi.
What do you have? What is your Midwestern defining idea?
Well, so I'm from Ohio originally, and I moved to Boston 7 years ago. And my husband and I are currently on a road trip to Minnesota for a family reunion. And the thing I miss the absolute most about living in the Midwest is how friendly everyone is, because they are not friendly at all in Boston.
Oh, no. What does that look like in Boston, Katie? How does that manifest itself?
Sorry. You cut out a little bit.
Yeah. What does that unfriendliness in Boston look like?
I don't know. Just everyone's kind of a little more like cold and closed off.
Oh,
and
no.
Sometimes people like to blame it on the weather, maybe, but I mean, it's
because we don't have that here.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
Katie, thanks a lot for the spread the friendliness, the Midwestern friendliness in Boston. Charlie, what do you think? Friendliness as a defining factor of the Midwest?
Well, I think it is certainly friendly, you know, and I think that's it's got its roots in a few different places. You know, a lot of folks are just trying to find a way to get themselves out of purgatory earlier. So they're going to, it's a do nice first, ask questions later kind of place. And I like that about it.
Katie, thanks. I hope Boston warms up to you a little bit. We're talking to Charlie Behrens from the Manitowoc Minute, author of the book, The Midwest Survival Guide. We are talking about what defines the Midwest, and we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Jim in Watertown is with us now. Jim, what says the Midwest to you?
Well, Katie kind of took it. It's your personality, man. I was a boilermaker. I'm from Maryland, and I'll tell you what. I've never seen a warmer set of people than you got out here, but I do have one rub.
Uh-oh.
Why do you call a bubbler, a water fountain, a bubbler? It took me a daggone year to figure out what y'all were talking about.
Jim, thanks a lot for that. You know, I got to say, Charlie, I knew I was a Wisconsinite the first time I was traveling. I was visiting my brother in California, and I was somewhere, and I asked somebody to counter, hey, do you have a bubbler? And I didn't do it on purpose, but we've talked about the history on the show. Bubbler, there's like Wisconsin and then like a couple little places in Maine or something like that. Bubbler is a defining word here.
Yeah, it's I think it's Wisconsin and Rhode Island and actually somewhere in Boston. They also call it, but they say bubbler with an A. but, you know, I think it comes from the Kohler company, which based in Kohler, Wisconsin, obviously. A lot of toilets. Check your toilet. If it's a Kohler toilet, that came from right here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. But I think they also, back in the day, made the first what some call water fountain. Obviously, for us in Wisconsin, water fountain, that's a place you get change for the meter. But, no, the bubbler is it comes from that name, I think. In a lot of ways, like Kleenex is the name for tissue, and it just sort of stuck.
Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Bill joins us now in Madison. Bill, what are your examples of Midwest living?
Well, I got a couple. Two I'm not sure about, but one, corn, mm-hmm. seems pretty obvious all around the Midwest. Easy one. The other two, my friends in Germany thought I was joshing them, but tree frog and flying squirrel, are those Midwest only, or are they other places too?
I don't know. Like, do we have a lot of flying squirrels here, Charlie? That's not leaping to mind for you. They jump around a lot, but flying squirrels, I don't know.
You know, I'd actually be curious to look into that myself, because I've seen a lot of squirrels, and they are good jumpers, and you would think that they'd have wings. And I know flying squirrels exist, but I can't tell you I've seen one in the flesh in recent memory. And then the tree frog situation. That I'm also not sure about.
Yeah.
So now and that's the nice thing about the Midwest. It's like the onion that you got in the bottom of your crisper that you forgot about, you know, and it's starting to grow, you know, outside of there. But you start peeling back these layers and you realize that there's so much to the Midwest you never even knew. You could live here your whole life and learn something new. So I'll do a little research on that and figure it out. But thanks for bringing that up.
Bill, thanks. Our producer, Emily Burdett, says there are flying squirrels in northern Wisconsin, at least. I'll have to investigate further. We got time for at least one or two more callers. Aaron is with us in Madison. Aaron, hello.
Hey, guys. How you doing? I wanted to give you two things. I got a game and I got a jingle. All right. So first off, the game, Euchre, the card game. Mm-hmm. Lived a lot of places, and the way I always connect with others in the Midwest, from the Midwest, is by playing euchre. Often Michigan, Wisconsin, seems to be a big Michigan thing, although their rules aren't as great as ours in Wisconsin. Then the jingle, I'll give you the jingle quick, and then you can probably fill in the blank. It goes like this. Dun, 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 dun. Boom.
Go Pack, go. Boom. I think you're working on there. Aaron, thanks a lot for that.
It.
So the Packers, let's talk the cards, though, Charlie. Euchre, I'll see your euchre. I'll raise you a pinochle and maybe a sheep's head. Card games in the Midwest, Charlie. Do you play any of them?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I'm actually, during the pandemic, the way my family held it together, you know, seeing each other and whatnot, was by doing Zoom sheep's head games. So we'd get on Zoom and we'd hang out, and then we'd play online sheep's head and euchre as well. And there are actually these tournaments all around. Sheep's head is much more just Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but euchre is more Midwest, and they have tournaments all around the country for euchre. And that's kind of the cool thing about the Midwest, is that, you know, wherever you go, there we are. There are Midwest people all over, and they're very proud of the culture, and they bring it with them.
Charlie, thanks again for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Oh, it was a blast. I appreciate you having me.
That's Charlie Behrens, comedian. He hosts the Manitowoc Minute, author of the book The Midwest Survival Guide, with us today, helping us sort through a Washington Post analysis of what places and things are the most Midwestern. Now, as you may have noticed, it's zucchini season. This Food Friday is for the zucchini overwhelmed, the home gardeners who have tried maybe to pawn off bags of the stuff to friends and neighbors who just finished eating the zucchini you gave them last week. There's hope. We have a guest who's written a cookbook about zucchini who says your abundance of zooks is a blessing, not a curse. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you do with your extra zucchini, if any? Do you give it away, preserve it? Do you have favorite recipes you like to make with it? And if you are a zucchini grower this season, how's it going? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Andrea Chessman is the author of a lot of cookbooks, including the classic zucchini cookbook. Andrea, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. Zucchini is an issue this time of the year.
It definitely is. We get cases of kind of reverse burglary in Wisconsin this time of year, where you sneak in and leave that zucchini behind. Have you ever had to go that far, where you deceptively gave people zucchini?
It was polling day, primary day on Tuesday, and I left a box at the polling. Yes, I did.
Excellent. Now, the great thing, though, about zucchini, it's kind of an unsung hero. You write in your cookbook, making up recipes for zucchini is almost like child's play. You can do anything with zucchini and get good results. Can you talk about the flexibility of the humble zucchini?
The humble zucchini has very little flavor, and so you can disguise it in baked goods. So I have like a recipe for gingerbread that I call zinger bread. And it's, because it's got zucchini in it. And zucchini adds the moisture that any vegetable will add to a cake or a cookie. You can put it adapts to the flavors. You can put it in French cooking. You can put it in Italian cooking. Anything you're making, you can slip in a zucchini, and it probably works.
Well, here's one. You shared some recipes with us. We've got a couple up at WPR.org/Food Friday. This one sounds great. I want to try it maybe this weekend. Zucchini feta squares. So it's kind of like that, the spanakopita, that's usually spinach in there. Zucchini just fills in that spinach roll. Is that right?
That's right. It because the spinach doesn't really have a very strong flavor once you put it against feta, so why not use zucchini instead?
And when you're preparing zucchini for a dish like this, I'm always wondering, like, do I need to, you know, drain it or salt it to get excess moisture out? Do I take the seeds out or not? Talk about the prep that might go into our zucchini for a dish like these zucchini feta squares.
If your zucchini has a lot of seeds in it, you've let it grow too long and just compost it. Give up. Or if you're really hungry and you need it, then I would say scrape away the seeds and, yes, do salt it and drain it. But a zucchini that's harvested at the right size, which is pretty much no bigger than 6 inches long, it shouldn't need draining if you're going to slice it. If you're going to grate it, you've exposed so much surface area that you should salt it and drain it.
Now, when I get those baseball bats, you know, I go away from my garden for a week or two and I come back and they're out of control. The one thing I have found is, and you've written a book about this too, relish. I found online a really great zucchini relish recipe. We've got a link on our segment note for today. Do you have thoughts on zucchini relishes that we can make use of some of that stuff?
Yes, you can. But I will also say that you will never make as good a zucchini relish or pickle as your cucumber relish or pickles. So how much time do you have, and how big is your compost pile? Because if you want, I have some not fussy eaters. They're very good eaters in my household, but they know the difference, and they prefer a cucumber relish. So, yes, you can make a zucchini relish if you're not too fussy, but I'm fussy.
Wow. Okay, I didn't think it was going to be controversial. I love my zucchini relish, but I understand not everybody will. Hey, let's go to our callers at 800-642-1234. Bruce is with us in Madison. Bruce, hi.
Hi. She was talking about how zucchini takes on the taste of different ingredients. Well, I see that some people will combine zucchini with their tomatoes when they make homemade canned pasta sauce, and then that stretches the tomato crop and gives you more tomato sauce. So I was wondering if she's ever done that, and if so, what's the ratio?
Interesting. What do you think, Andrea?
I think that if you're going to make tomato sauce and add zucchini, you should freeze it because you are reducing the acidity of the tomato sauce when you add vegetables. And that includes zucchini. And so I cannot recommend it as being safe enough.
Oh, okay. Bruce, hope that helps. Freeze it. Don't process it with the canner. We are talking on Food Friday about cooking with zucchini. Lots of different things to do with an excess supply of zucchini. Andrea Chessman is with us. She's written a bunch of cookbooks, including the classic zucchini cookbook. And you can join in at 800-642-1234 with your zucchini favorites or least favorites. Oh, and I meant to ask, do you have an extreme view on zucchini? Do you really like it or do you really hate it? My hunch is that most of us are in the middle, but you can prove me wrong at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Okay, we had those zucchini feta squares. We've got that online. You also sent us kitchen sink cookies online with zucchini. Talk about the role of zucchini in cookies.
If you like a cakey cookie, you can add vegetables to it like zucchini, and it's great. If you want a crisp cookie, then it won't work for you. But the it's one way to sneak in vegetables to kids.
That sounds pretty good. And can you share, you mentioned gingerbread cookies, or gingerbread with zucchini, the kitchen sink cookies with zucchini. Now, a lot of people, I'll include me, will go to zucchini bread. Do you have any advice for making really good zucchini bread?
You have to just make sure you've got the moisture right by draining it first. But it generally comes out fine, you know. It's not a French pastry. It's a humble loaf.
It is forgiving. I will say the one way I've screwed it up is when there's baking soda in the recipes, I had some batches come out bad, and then I realized my baking soda was way past where I should have been cooking with it. That's the one pratfall I've had with zucchini bread. But as you say, otherwise, it's one of the easier things to come out right. It's pretty forgiving, right?
Right, and I know some people are making zucchini breads right now and freezing them to give away as Christmas presents. So that's a thing to do if you really love your recipe.
All right, we are talking about zucchini cooking on this week's edition of Food Friday. You could join in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Andrea Chessman is with us, author of cookbooks, including the classic Zucchini Cookbook. She's given us a couple recipes. You could find them at WPR.org/Food Friday, a main dish and a cookie. And again, share your favorites or your questions for our guest at 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Andrea Chessman, author of the classic zucchini cookbook. It's Food Friday. We're getting great advice on what to do with zucchini, especially if you have too much of it. You could join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We heard from Steve on Facebook, who says, always take the real big ones to your neighbors when they aren't home. Let's go back to your calls now. Joe is with us in Pine River. Joe, hello.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Actually, I was having this discussion with some friends. My wife, Becky, who's listening right now, I'm sure, she makes zucchini zoodles. She's got it, this crank machine she got from Aldi's, and she makes, Alfredo zoodles, and it goes great with anything chicken, but it's a really good alternative. I like it better than pasta. She just sautés it and mixes it with a little half and half and some cheese, and it's great. It's really, really healthy, but we eat it all the time.
Joe, thanks a lot for that. I've tried this. I haven't found a way to do it that I like that much. I've gotten some frozen zoodles, too. That's the zucchini in the shape of noodles. Andrea, any thoughts on our zoodle options?
It's not one of my favorites because I love pasta so much.
Okay.
But yeah. I understand that some people are big fans of it.
Yeah, I Becky probably does it right. She needs to cook for both of us, I think, Andrea, because I'm on the same page with you. I'm not low carb or anything, so given the choice, I'd rather have the pasta. But hey, I might try zoodles again. Thanks for calling in, Joe. Kay is with us in Madison now. Kay, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. What do you like to use zucchini for?
Well, my favorite is ratatouille. So we've got eggplant in the garden and onions and tomatoes, and zucchini is just beautiful with it. We found that if you bake the ingredients sort of separately from, you know, onions first and then zucchini and then eggplant and then tomatoes, it doesn't get so mushy. So that is one piece of advice about great ratatouille. And then the thing I wanted to ask about is, does zucchini hold up as a stuffed squash? Could you take some of those larger ones and have them and either do a mushroom or sausage stuffing and bake it?
Interesting, Kate. Thanks. What do you think, Andrea? Stuffed zucchini? I never even thought about that before.
It gets seedy and it gets a little woody and the outer part of it gets tough. I don't think it's ideal for letting grow big. I think it's always better small, but you can stuff the small ones. You just have to do a lot of them.
Interesting. Kay, thanks. Hope that helps. And Kay mentioned that ratatouille. That reminds me, one thing you like to do is a main dish, a chicken and zucchini. I never know this pronunciation. Provençale? It's French.
Yeah, no, it's just Provençal.
Provençal. Okay, it's, I'm bad at French.
That's one of my favorite dishes, and I adapt it in 100 different ways depending on what's in season and what's available. But it's just a lovely chicken and in a light tomato broth with zucchini and onions and peppers. You can throw in capers and mushrooms. It's very adaptable.
Oh, and I should have thought of this earlier when we were talking about noodles versus zucchini noodles. Well, you've got one with noodles and zucchini. Well, summer squash, actually. Pesto linguine, great. With summer squash, that is a great combo, I think. Pesto, for some reason, works really well with zucchini and summer squash for me. You too, right. It sounds like.
It boosts the flavor quite a bit, and that's what we want because zucchini's a little bit bland.
Go back to our callers now at 800-642-1234 in our Food Friday conversation about zucchini in zucchini season. Pat is with us now in Green Bay. Pat, hello.
Greetings. Happy Friday. Yeah. My wife makes it's a half sheet. It looks like apple pie, but it's made with zucchini. And if somebody doesn't tell you you're eating zucchini, you never know it.
It's
like apple pie.
It's a pie. There's a crust. Pay me a picture here, Pat.
Okay, it's made in a half sheet pan.
Uh huh.
It's got a pie crust on the bottom. Then it's zucchini, and then all the stuff that you would use to make apple pie filling.
So it's flavored like an apple pie, like the cinnamon and spice and stuff.
Correct. And if somebody doesn't tell you you're eating zucchini, you would never know it.
Wow. Interesting, Pat. I never would have thought of that. What do you think? Can zucchini fill in for apples and apple pie, Andrea?
I have a recipe for apple pie in my cookbook. And I was inspired by, I don't know if you remember this, but Ritz Cracker used to have a recipe on the back of the box for a mock apple pie made with Ritz Crackers. Does anybody remember that?
I'd never made it. I've eaten a fair amount of crackers. I don't remember seeing that recipe, though.
Well, if you add enough sugar and cinnamon to just about anything, it ends up being fake apple pie. And zucchini works really well in that. I have a recipe. I should have sent it to you because it's so much fun.
Amazing.
And people really, really are surprised by it.
Pat, thanks for that. Actually, one of our producers, Tim Peterson, says his mom makes that, calls it a mock apple tort, not with the Ritz cracker, though. So, okay, this is the thing. Interesting, Pat. Thanks. You've introduced me to something new. It's Food Friday. We are cooking with zucchini. Andrea Chessman is with us. Among her many cookbooks is the classic zucchini cookbook. Still time for you to join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Jordan is with us now in Delafield. Jordan, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to share with us, Jordan?
One thing that I've tried doing with zucchini is like a breaded and deep fried kind of thing. So it's sort of like zucchini fries.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of fun. And then another thing is an Indian curry zucchini, so like a eggplant curry, if you've ever had.
Sure.
That works pretty well.
I like those both ideas because everything's better fried, and curries are great for everything.
Yeah, that's, again, the case where zucchini is going to absorb the flavor. Actually, I really particularly like zucchini in a curry or even a stir fry because it really soaks up whatever your sauce you're using, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he mentioned those zucchini fries. And a battle I have, sometimes I can get, you know, zucchini into, make it crisp, oven roasted or battered and fried. Any secrets you have for getting, a zucchini fry good and crispy, since it's something that wants to be a little soggy and moist, I think.
Are you asking me?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I wrote a book called The Fat Kitchen, and it's about using animal fats to do all sorts of cooking, including frying. Nothing makes fried foods crisper than using animal fats.
So what kind of, just like lard or what are you using? Bacon fat?
I actually use a lot of chicken fat. Bacon fat doesn't make things crispy.
Okay.
Makes them flavorful, but not crispy.
That's a trade-off I'm willing to make sometimes, though. That's interesting advice. I have not experimented with that. We heard online from Darlene on the Ideas Network Facebook page. She had a two-ingredient baked Parmesan zucchini rounds. Two ingredients, zucchinis and Parmesan cheese. You put shredded parm on zucchini slices, seasoning if you want it, and then bake it. That's it. It can be just that simple, Andrea.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. We still have time for another couple callers. Jeanette is with us now in Walworth. Jeanette, hello.
Hello. I was going to offer a suggestion. When we were busy, we would make scrambled eggs with zucchini, fry it up, and it would be something quick to eat while we were in between customers because we owned a restaurant, and it would just be something really quick. In the winter, or if we wanted something more substantial, we would fry that up also with either Italian sausage or hamburger meat. And then, of course, you can always sprinkle mozzarella and Romano or Parmesan cheese on the top.
Now, wait a minute. You're at a restaurant, Jeanette. You're cooking this for yourselves. If I was a customer there, could I have ordered your zucchini scramble there?
Had you dated me, you could have.
Jeanette, thanks a lot for sharing that. Andrea, do you have thoughts? That was a great breakfast. You could eat it anytime, but a great breakfast option. Do you have any favorite things to do with zucchini for a breakfast?
I actually eat leftover ratatouille with grated cheese in it for breakfast.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Jeanette, thank you so much for sharing that. Nancy is with us now in Menominee Falls. Nancy, hi.
Hi, I'm just about to go through a car wash, but I think we can still talk.
Go for it.
Our family favorite is zucchini pizza pie. It's made with a crescent dinner roll crust in a pie dish. And while that is raw, you put a slather on some yellow mustard. You make a concoction of eggs, shredded up zucchini, mozzarella cheese, and lots of Italian spices, and then you bake it.
Wow. Mustard. I'm surprised at the mustard there, Nancy. That works?
It adds a little twist to it.
Interesting. Thanks a lot for sharing that with us, Nancy, at 800-642-1234. Andrea, before we run out of time, I don't want to forget this. A chocolate zucchini cake. You've got a deep, dark chocolate zucchini cake recipe. Can you tell us a little bit about this and what the zucchini is doing there?
The zucchini is hiding. You might see little green flecks in it, but it's hiding and adding moisture. So it's really just a sneaky way to use zucchini.
But,
and who doesn't love chocolate cake?
Oh, definitely. But the zucchini can play a role there in giving a moisture to a dessert like a cake?
Yeah, and it keeps it fresher longer.
All right, and I got to ask before I let you go, Andrea, we're in the thick of things, the zucchini season here. Are you sick of zucchini by this time of year, or are you still excited about all this different stuff you can do with it?
I was looking through recipes to send to you last night, and I started thinking, oh, I haven't made that in a while. Oh, I forgot about that. So you have renewed my enthusiasm for the recipes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
That's Andrea Chessman, author of a bunch of cookbooks. She told us about some favorites from the classic zucchini cookbook on this edition of Food Friday, a focus on zucchini. Still some people calling in. Somebody's got a blueberry zucchini cake. Oh, that sounds really good, too. Maybe we'll do zucchini again sometime. Lots of people calling in about this. You can find a couple recipes from Andrea at WPR.org/Food Friday. We got those kitchen sink cookies, right? Oh, and then the spinach. Well, it's not spinach. It's a zucchini feta pie, like a spanakopita, that spinach feta thing. But there's the secret. You guessed it. Zucchini instead of the spinach. You can keep sharing your favorite zucchini-related recipes and tell us about your zucchini harvest this year. You can do that over at WPR.org/Food Friday or send us a zucchini-themed email, ideas@WPR.org. That's ideas@WPR.org.